Let's pray, Lord. We just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and the kindness, Lord. We thank you for the snow, Lord God. We thank you for the moisture that we desperately need in this region, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for being faithful to send us moisture, Lord God. We just thank you for your many, many blessings. We thank you that we're here. We pray for those that are on their way, oh God, that they would be safe, Lord, on these slick, icy roads, Lord God. We just thank you for your many, many blessings. And help us today. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Move, open our hearts, open our minds, open our understanding as we break into your word and your lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're getting into hallowing this name. As I said before, we're going to be in this for 2 weeks. There is a handout over there, some extra scriptures for this lesson today. So if you didn't get your handout, it's over there on the table. So as we look at our lesson, hallowing this name, last week we did praying this name, and of course praying this name is going to be really powerful because, folks, you know, we are already talking about warfare already, you know, and how we have to be just dynamic and understanding what the Lord wants us to be about and what we should do and how we should. We talked about the scripture where we have to set our face like flint in this day and age. We can't just let the enemy just do whatever, but we've got to take authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus in prayer. And that's where it's going to happen, in the prayer closet, folks. I can't say it enough, that scripture that says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. It's not going to be by your arguments. It's not going to be by your conversation. It's not going to be about beating people with a Bible. It's going to be by his spirit. So get into your prayer closet. I hope even now you're preparing a war room in your home, a closet that where you can go in and just bombard heaven and just take the enemy's kingdom down. I mean, the devil don't care whatever you do, but he does mind when you pray. That's why he tries to distract you so often. So we want to take back the territory that the enemy has stolen from us in the name of Jesus. So as we look at the lesson, hallowing this name, our key scripture is from John 3:30, and it says, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. And you guys know, we pray that all the time. He must increase, I must decrease. I can't say it enough, because every day I realize how much more I need to decrease and he needs to increase. And Andrew Murray, and it's on your handout, said, I must become nothing so God can be all. I love the way he said that. I must become nothing so God can be all. And Andrew Murray has a lot of writings on prayer and humility, I'm telling you, and it's just really powerful. So the first point on your lesson says, the verse above encapsulates our marching orders from the captain of the host of the Lord. If we are to hallow his name and hold it sacred toward victory, then he must become greater and greater, and we must become less and less. And therein is our issue, us becoming less and less. Our constant work is to keep ourselves, our pride, our emotions, our greed, our vengeance out of Christ's way as he grows in us. Each moment of our lives, we must make the choice to focus on our captain and endure the battle. Folks, I'm telling you, this is not an easy thing for us as humans. This is not a light thing. You know, we hear these scriptures and sometimes I think it just rolls off our backs, you know, but this is a heavy thing. There's just this scripture in John 3 that he must increase and I must decrease. It is a very difficult thing, and we have to put our mind on it. We have to think about it. We have to focus on it in order for it to be done. It's not going to happen passively. You're not going to decrease passively. You know, when you pinch this thing, it's going to scream ouch, okay? It's going to scream out, and it's going to swing back, you know, and we've got to know that about ourselves. As we talked in previous lessons, you got to know yourself. You got to know when you're going to scream ouch, when the Lord brings some things into your life. So we have to, as we're praying this word and making him sacred, we got to understand, I've got to become less, Lord. Show me how to become less and how you can become greater. And then I just was listing some of our emotions, our greed, our vengeance, some of the things that we have to battle with as we become less. It's a hard fight to fight the way Jesus does. It's hard for us to fight the way Jesus does. you know, because we're so used to fighting in the physical and fighting with our tongue and fighting all other kind of ways, you know, with our status and our power. But it's hard to fight the way Jesus fight. I want to fight with my fist. I want to fight with my human power. And Jesus calls me to fight with my head bowed. And that's hard for me, you know, because I got so much to say. And I think my speech might just do it. Okay, I think if I could just tell them what's one thing, it might be all right. You know, and it's hard to hold your tongue and bow your head and take it into prayer. The next point on your lesson says, the scripture encourage us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that will distract us, I want you to remember that part, and focus our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of faith. The first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity. I hope you want your faith to come to maturity. You know, I've met Christians that's like, you know, I'm saved, that's good. All right, I'm saved, I go to church, I'm good. You know, there's so much more. There's so much more, and I hope we desire to come to maturity in Christ, because if you don't, you are forfeiting so much. And trust me, you will want to grow up. You don't want to stay a child forever in Christ. You want to grow up so that you can take on the battles, because the devil does not care if you're a child in Christ. He will beat you up anyways and spit you out. He doesn't care if you're immature and you don't know. In fact, the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We don't study. We don't pray. And that's why the scripture says we perish. So Satan doesn't care if you're immature. So we need to seek the one who brings our faith to maturity. It goes on to say, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. And that's Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, and that's in the Amplified. So we see there's so much in these scriptures, and we're just going to park here at this scripture for a while and just kind of break it down. First of all, we hold the name of our captain sacred because his name is victory. Right there. That's worth hollowing, bowing right there. His name is victory. Okay, he's not trying to get victory. His name is victory. He already has the victory. I heard somebody say yesterday, you know, God is not struggling to get the victory. He's got it already. It's us that gotta get into him so that we can share the victory that he has already won. So his name is victory. He has won the battle already. Our enemy will lie to us and tell us, try to get us to believe that there is some victory he can obtain at the end of this battle. But there is no other victory to be had by Satan. He is defeated. Do you understand? His fate is already sealed. It's already done. You know, he's trying to make you think that something he's going to win. I don't know. I don't understand these people that worship Satan. I'm like, you understand he's lost already. You know, it's already done. What in the world are you on the losing side? He's lying to you to make you think that doing it his way and forsaking Christ, somehow you're going to win. You're not going to win. Even if you get a temporary win in a situation, I'm telling you, in the end, you have lost. You know, it's not. See, we think that our life is like watching a football game. You know, and we're, you know, when you're watching a football game, you know, you're rooting for your team. You're rooting for your team. You don't know who's gonna win. You're rooting for your team, and you're hoping your team will win. It's not like that. We got to get that out of our minds. That's not what this is all about. We have already won. We have already got the trophy. We already, all we have to do is just walk in it. Take authority and walk in it. Christ completed the fight for us and is now seated at the right hand of the Father forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Satan has already been defeated and his fate is sealed. So do not forfeit your fight to the liar. Don't forfeit your fight to a liar, because that's what we do. We all have our own personal battle, our fight. Don't forfeit it to the liar. He's lying to you if he's trying to say he's going to win. The enemy screams lies to you from behind bars. He cannot do anything. Do you understand? He can't make you do anything. We got to get that. This comment, the devil made me do it, is a lie. I know it sounds good and it sounds funny, but it's a lie. The devil cannot make you do anything. All he can do is scream at you from behind bars, trying to make you do something, trying to deceive you into making false steps. And they're all based on lies. Therefore, we want to learn, we want to practice, we want to press into focusing on our captain. Focus on Christ and Christ's way of doing things. Looking away from all that will distract you, as the scripture has said, as we just read it, looking away from all that will distract you from carrying out the orders of your captain. You know, you've got to do what Christ tells you to do. And I put in your handout here the story of the woman at Bethany in Matthew 26, and I'm just going to read it for you. It says, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in her memory. Now, let's just break that down. See, sometimes we think we know what should be happening with things. What should be happening with the money? What should be happening to this? And what should be happening to that? Instead of focusing on Jesus. See, this woman came in focusing on Jesus. She didn't care about her reputation. She didn't care about what people thought of her. She was just focusing on Jesus. She came in. She's focused. She's like, I'm at his feet and I'm pouring the most precious thing I have is this perfume, and I'm pouring it on his feet. And she's wiping, you know, his feet with her hair. And she's focusing. Her focus is not on people criticizing her. See, that's the way we got to be. We got to focus on Jesus. We got to focus on what she saw, the fact that she was anointing. But she may not have known it, but she knew that that's what she should do. And Jesus said, she's anointing me for my burial. You guys are all missing it. Because you're looking at all this worldly stuff and trying to run the things of Christ the way the world does things. Folks, I'm telling you, we as believers have got to start focusing on Jesus and what he is telling us to do, what our captain is telling us to do. And we can't care about what people are saying. Well, no, you shouldn't do that, because if you do that, blah, 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 this is going to happen and that's going to happen. We've got to really get a mindset that I'm focusing on Jesus. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do what I believe the Lord has told me in my heart to do. As that woman did. You know, she didn't have any position. In fact, she had a bad reputation. See, that's one of the lies Satan will tell you to. Oh, you're going to tell somebody about Jesus? Oh, you're going to? He's a liar.
Yes.
He's a liar. So I want you to take an example from this woman at Bethany who came in and her focus was on Christ and not on whose house she was coming in and not on what people were going to say about her. She was just focusing on getting to her Lord and her Christ and giving him an offering, a sacrifice of all that she had. See, that's the mindset that we have to get when it comes to serving the captain of the host of the Lord. Obedience, obedience, obedience to him. So I say Satan cannot stop you, but he will try to distract you. See, if that woman, she probably heard the whispers, and sometimes you're on your way to doing what Jesus told you to do, and you'll hear a whisper, but she didn't stop. She kept going until she got to her Lord and did what she felt in her heart to do. See, don't let the enemy distract you. As I said, he's like behind bars telling you, taunting you from behind bars. He can't stop you. So carry out what God has told you to carry out. Don't let the enemy tell you you're not qualified, and who do you think you are approaching the Lord? And, you know, remember what you did last year, and how dare you try to get up in the church and do this? And he's a liar. You focus on Jesus. You focus on Jesus. This is why he hates you to pray. Because when you pray, you solidify your focus and you solidify your orders from Christ. When you pray, your orders get solidified for the day. He'll drop a scripture in your heart. He'll drop a song in your heart for the day. It may not be for tomorrow. It's for today. And he solidifies your orders, so when that moment in time comes up in your day, you know that scripture comes right back. The orders from the captain come right back. Christ is faithful each day to meet you in your prayer closet and give you your encouragement from the day, but do not stand him up. We stand him up, don't we? We don't even show up. Here he is waiting. Remember that handout I gave you, My Heart Cries Home? And he's sitting there just waiting. And we won't even show up. We stand him up. We're too busy. I got a meeting this morning. I got an early meeting. You got an early meeting, get up earlier so you can meet him and not stand him up, because you need him in your meeting. Trust me, you need him in the meeting. He already knows what the meeting is going to be about. See, so we got to stop confining Christ to the church. Christ is everywhere. He is in your business. He is in your home. He's at your workplace. He's with you driving down Highway 50. So we need to invite him to be with us and meet with him. As the scripture says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Folks, we never lived in such a time as we do today, where the days are evil and the enemy is coming at us. You believers, you Christians, look out. Look out, you Christians. Everywhere you go. I know we think we're safe and secure in the United States. It's not true. You Christians, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You need to be in your prayer closet. You need to be watching. Boy, you need to read your word, because when you read your word, I was reading in Matthew when Jesus was talking and prophesying how friends will be turning against friends and family members will be turning against family members in the last days. And, you know, be careful. Be in your prayer closet. Be covering your family. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You need your marching orders every day. This is no joke. This is no game. You don't want to catch the enemy to catch you, and you're not ready. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What he wants you to be doing every day. So we want to be in wisdom, folks. We want to be in wisdom with Jesus and understand what he wants us to do. The next point on your lesson says, our captain authored our belief. He built and sustains its foundation. He made what we believe of him to be unshakable and unchangeable. We can grow closer to him with confidence and assurance that we will find a greater and better life. There will be no disappointments or failures or discoveries that he is not who he says he is. He is forever the victor over our enemy. Aren't you happy about that? You don't have to worry about finding out, did you hear about Jesus? Did you hear that he was just making all this stuff up? Did you hear that he didn't really have a kingdom? You don't have to worry about that happening. Okay, you do not have to worry. Jesus is unchangeable, unmutable, and I'm telling you, he is not like man. All of his stuff is set for eternity. So I am going to be on his side. I'm going to be with him. You know, we have a constitution of the United States, but you know that constitution can be amended. It's been amended, meaning they're adding stuff to it. You know, and they might be taking stuff out. I don't know. They're trying to. They're trying to take stuff out, you know? You know, so you don't have to worry about the Word of God being like the Constitution. It is not going to be amended. And that's a double-edged sword for some of us, because some people would like to amend the Word of God. They would like to change it up. You know, they want to take stuff out of here that's in here. Sin is sin is sin. I'm sorry. This is not changing. God is not changing. He's not coming down doing any amendments on this. Sin is sin is sin. And we have to live by His Word. The next point in your lesson says, we hold His name sacred, Captain of the Host of the Lord, because He was the one who suffered and died for our victory. He did this as an act of His will and His Father's will. See, one thing y'all got to know about Satan, he didn't die for you. He's not going to die for you. He's not going to suffer for you. Because he does not love you. In fact, I'll tell you, he hates you, and we've got to get that. He hates you. I was driving this morning, and I was behind this car, and it had a bumper sticker that says coexist, and it's got all these symbols of all these different religions on there. And I'm like, if only you understood that you have got an enemy that wants you dead. He is not going to coexist with you. He wants you dead. And that's why God, our loving God, sent His Son to die so that we could be saved, because He knew there was an enemy here that was not going to coexist with us. Wouldn't that be nice if we all could just get along and we all could just coexist, and we can, you know, the Satanists could do their thing and the Christians could do their thing. And folks, you have an enemy that wants you dead. And that's why Christ sent His Son. See, He's the only one that died for you. He's the only one. Nobody else did it for you except Jesus Christ. The scripture says, God for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that He should make Jesus, through His suffering, a perfect leader, or captain, says the King James, fit to bring them into their salvation. He's fit. He not only guides us, He not only guides His troops, He loves His troops. Don't you love that? He's not just guiding us, He loves us. I love the fact that He loves us. So you don't have to worry about following His orders, because He will always lead you in a wonderful and a beautiful way, because He loves you. Isaiah 55, 4 through 5 says, listen carefully. I have appointed him, David, representing the Messiah, to be a witness to the nations regarding salvation, a leader and commander to the peoples. In fact, you, Israel, will call a nation that you do not know. And a nation that does not know you will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. And this, you know, this talks about the nation of Israel and Christ coming out of the nation of Israel. And because Christ came out of the nation of Israel, that's what this prophecy is fulfilled, that all nations have run to Jesus Christ, the one that came out of Israel. So the prophecy is fulfilled, that nations will run. And in a similar way, as individuals, as we are obedient, as we live in Jesus Christ, nations will run to us as well. Nations will run to us as well. As you are obedient and holding His name sacred as your captain, you will be victorious and prosperous, and others will look to you for their own hope. So this carries on. Remember, when this happens, to point them to your commander, the captain of the host of the Lord. I'm telling you, there's something that people are looking at. Even some of the people that mess with you the most, that pick on you the most, they're the ones watching to see if this thing is real you're talking about. Keep talking about this Jesus. You know, they've been watching you for years. Keep talking about this Jesus. They're trying to see
if it's real, if there really is a hope. Christ cannot fail because he was appointed by God to be your leader and commander. As the scripture has said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. That's from Isaiah 1:19. This word is true corporately and individually. So as you live in Christ, people will look to you for hope. They will come to you because you're eating the good of the land. They will, why aren't you worried about this stuff? Why are you so at peace? It's not that you have all this stuff, or I'm not talking about material possessions, folks. I'm talking about the riches that come with living a life before Christ. And people will see that you're never all messed up and all, you know, worried, and because of the hope that is within you. I love the series that we're doing right now, Hope Grows Here. Hope grows here. And it's an individual thing, folks. Is hope growing in you? Where people can see that hope is growing in you and they're coming. Your neighbor may not have any hope. Family members may not have any hope, but there's something in you. Why are you so peaceful? Why are you so diligent? You get up every day and you just go for it every day. You go through just like anybody else, but yes, there's something about you. You're getting up every day and you're just doing it. And you're showing love to people and you're giving, and you don't have much, but you're giving. The hope. Does hope grow here? Does it grow here, folks? I was so moved last Sunday with all those people coming down, just weeping. They were just weeping. Oh, there was just such a spirit of compassion in the room. These people were just weeping, just talking about what they are going through and what they are living with. It would blow your mind, some of the people that are in the sanctuary that are going through, looking for hope. Looking for hope. And there are many that may not come in these doors, but they'll look at you and they're looking for hope. So you got to ask your question, is hope growing here, where people are seeing the hope that's in us? 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you, that you have. But do this with gentleness and with respect. So again, this is marching orders. Marching orders from the captain. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that's in you. People will ask you, so why are you so happy? Well, I'm happy because God is good. Jesus is good. The next point in your lesson from Romans 11:26, and it says, I do not want you believers to be unaware of this mystery, God previously hidden plan, so that you will not be wise in your own opinion, that a partial hardening has temporarily happened to Israel to last until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, so that at that time all Israel, that is all Jews who have a personal faith in Jesus as Messiah, will be saved, just as it is written in the scriptures, the deliverer, Messiah, will come from Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Now, you may read this, okay, so it is saying here that Israel, the heart of Israel, was hardened for a while. And why? So that the Gentiles, those of us that are not Jewish, could come. Because that's what the disciples did. They took the word and they spread it all over the place. You know, the Jews didn't receive it at that point. But, you know, they say there's a time when they will soften their heart and understand that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and ungodliness would be removed from Jacob. And again, you're looking at a strategic plan from the captain. This was his strategic plan. Their hearts are hardened for a while. You know, and that really blew my mind when I was old enough to understand that. You mean Jesus was a Jew, and then the Jews don't believe he... That really blew my mind for a while. Why? How could that happen? Wow, whoa, boy, God really... I was like, didn't he make it? Why'd he send Jesus to the Greeks? You know, the Jew, I mean, why? What's the issue? But it was all part of a strategic plan. Folks, I'm telling you, the captain of the host of the Lord, he knows what he's doing. And it was all a part of a strategic plan. So we have to trust him. He wanted the whole world saved. So if his own people on earth rejected him for a while, that was fine, so that you and I could come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. You know, if you watch, even if you read about what the disciples did and how they preached, and people were coming from all over, Romans, Cornelius, the Roman, came to know Jesus. The Ethiopian that came to visit Jerusalem came to know Jesus. People all over were coming to know Jesus because of the strategic plan of the captain of the host of the Lord, so we can trust him. The next point in your lesson says we hold Christ's name sacred as captain of the host of the Lord because he is the deliverer of all. The verses above comment on God's overall plan to save both the Jews and the Gentiles by a partial hardening of the Jews toward Christ so that the gospel would go to the Gentiles for a season. Then God would return the salvation of his son to the Jews. Our captain endured this rejection so that all of humanity could be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he's a strategist. He is winning this thing. He's already won it, okay? So it's amazing. I mean, when you read the word of God, the things that open up to you on his wisdom and how he had this thing already laid out. The plans of God are always full of love and are made in the eternal. And that's what you've got to understand about the word of God. There is a reason why he has the thou shalt nots. You know, we don't like the thou shalt nots because we want to do, our flesh wants to do all kind of things, you know. My God, if we would have just listened, the diseases that we wouldn't even be dealing with today. The deaths that we would never have seen in humanity had we just obeyed his word. He knows what he's doing. You can trust him. You can trust him. I tell you, you know, we got to cast down the pride of man, the pride of ourselves, that we think we know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. And in ourselves and our own pride, we're headed toward eternal suffering. I mean, God sees where we're headed without Christ, and he's like, please, daughter, please, son, turn around and come to me. Because he sees hell. We think we know it. We don't have any idea. We have no idea what this kind of suffering is like. And it goes on forever and ever and ever. So again, folks, we want to listen to our captain. We want to press into our captain. We want to press into prayer for this world. The next point on the lesson says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Titus 2 and 13. So we've got to look at, this is the end game for the captain of the host for this earth. This is his end game. See, this is all being wrapped up, folks. I mean, I don't know how we can question it at this point in time. How can you question it at this point in time that he's wrapping things up? You know, my family, my mom and my sister, they just came back from Jerusalem, and they always, you know, they're telling you, watch Jerusalem, watch the holy city. And they said they went, and it was something because the Muslims are just moving in. You know, they took the Temple Mount years ago, you know, But there's encroaching on Jerusalem. It's about 60% Muslim now. And God has said they won't take it. No. Israel will not be taken. It will not be taken down. They're trying to chop it up. They're trying to do all kind of things to Israel. They said across the street in Bethlehem, across the street from the birthplace of Christ, where they feel the birthplace of Christ, they built a mosque right across the street. You know, so when you see these things happening, you're like, you know the times are happening. The times are coming. You know, because you watch Israel, God said Israel will not be taken, but 60% of the holy city has been taken. So watch, the time is close, folks. I mean, if we look at our government's shut down right now, you know, pray for the USA.
Yes.
Pray for our government. The things that we rely on and we lean on and we think, oh, I'm safe. Folks, you better get in your prayer closet. You better get in your prayer closet so that you can stand. So that you can stand. You want to be in your prayer closet. So the end game is coming for the captain of the hosts of this earth. We hold his name sacred because the entire reason for the work of the captain of the hosts of the Lord for humanity is so that we will be ready for his glorious appearing to reign with him forever and ever. Therefore, we keep our eyes on our captain over the cares of this world. Folks, don't get distracted. I know we're busy. I know we're busy, and I know that's a ploy by Satan. He wants to keep us so busy, running. I know we have to do what we have to do to survive, you know, but don't get your mind and your focus off of Christ. Don't get distracted. Don't get caught up in foolishness. Sometimes we're just caught up in foolishness. Don't get caught up in foolish arguments and foolish things. Keep your mind on Jesus. Remember the woman with the alabaster box? I mean, she didn't get caught up arguing with the disciples that were making comments. She went straight to Jesus. This is my goal, this is my focus. I'm gonna bring my sacrifice and I'm gonna put it at his feet. That's what I'm gonna do. So don't get caught up in foolishness, but keep your focus on what God is telling you to do. Don't get caught up in things that don't matter in light of eternity. Let it go. Let things go. Forgive. Okay, you can have that. That's all right. You can have it. Oh, I forgive you. It hurt your heart. It hurt. They embarrassed you. Yes, it happened. Yep. Let it go. You don't have time for that. You need to be listening to your captain on what you need to be about in this day, in this age. What's going on in your family? Folks, if you don't get in a war room for anything else, you need to get in that war room for your family. I'm in my war room for my family. You know, because the devil's trying to take folks in my family.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I'm like, in Jesus' name, we're not having it. If you don't get in the closet for anybody else, get in for your family. You know, I mean, we talk about them. Oh, I don't know what's going on with that boy. I don't know what's going on with that girl. They just won't amount to anything. Oh, you're messing up right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, the accuser of the brethren is right in front of God saying, see, why should you answer their prayer? They even said they wouldn't amount to anything. So why should you? Folks, first thing we got to do is repent for things we're saying. I can't wait to get into the war room because first thing we're going to talk about is us. First thing, because I got to get this clean before I can. Because we want to focus. I know all of us. I don't think anybody can say, no, everything's great in my family and nobody's having any problems and everybody's doing great. And, you know, I don't think anybody in this room can say that. Who can say that? Because I want to come live at your house. So if you're not, for nothing else, get in there for your family. Because he's wrapping things up. And I don't want my family to be left here. I don't want, you know, I know there's a the rapture and then the second coming, you want to go in the rapture. You do not want to be here. Okay? You do not want to be here, folks. Because it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. So you want to be praying. The scripture says, your notes, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or sin, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. And that's Hebrews 10, 35 and 39. I want you to know, Jesus knows that you're tired sometimes. He knows that you're weary. He knows that you're afraid sometimes. He knows that you're lonely. He knows that you feel rejected. And he knows that you're weary of waiting. Because some of us are like, please come, Jesus, please come. It's hard. Please come. He knows. But he also knows that he's made every provision for you to be victorious. Right now. Right here. So what we do, we press into our prayer closet. And we pray. And we get the victory. The just shall live by faith, says the scripture. Not maybe. They might have to live by faith. They sort of, kind of need to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Many things that we're going through is so God can build up our faith. Build up our faith. If you're going through, don't waste it. Let your faith build up in you. You know, it talks about patience having its perfect work. Patiently waiting at the feet of Christ. As you're waiting and waiting, let it have its perfect work. And he says, if anyone draws back, then I have no pleasure in you. Because when you draw back, you're telling Jesus, I believe the enemy over you. When you draw back, I can't do this. Jesus can't do this. So I'm going to just throw my hands up and give it up. And that's exactly what the enemy wanted. So you don't want to draw back. You want to press in, because in Jesus Christ you can overcome anything. I'm telling you, life, death, tragedy, blessings, curses, you can overcome in Jesus Christ. The next point in your lesson says, holding sacred Christ's name, the captain of the host of the Lord, has to do with endurance. Endurance. Endurance, beloved. We hold him sacred as our captain through all the fiery darts that come at us from our enemy. We hold the line as we wait. I know it's tiring. I know. But you hold the line. That means you don't let the enemy pass that point. In fact, you press in, you push them back. And you don't allow the enemy to take back any territory won by faith in our Lord. I know he has stolen stuff from us. I know there were days when you were just tired, you weren't watching, and he stole something. Take it back. Take it back in Jesus' name. Take authority and take it back in Jesus' name. Take it. Like, Lord, I take that back. You know, he stole that. You know, my child was this, this, and this, and he stole it. So, Lord, I take it back in Jesus' name. Minister, as only you can minister, minister to their heart in the name. But just send people to minister. You know, you can pray. I pray. I said, Lord, they may not listen to me, but Lord, send somebody that they'll listen to. Let their friend rise up, that friend that they always want to hang out. Lord, let the word of God rise up in that friend in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, save their friend. Yes. And then let their friend turn around and minister to them. Jesus can do it, folks. I'm telling you, Jesus can do it. And he will close doors that no man can open and open doors that no man can close. You know, they got their plans. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Jesus will close that door shut so tight. Like, no, you're going to stay right here until you do it God's way. Why? Because mama praying. That's why. Because daddy's praying. That's why. That's why the door is shut. You don't have to tell them that, but you just standing back there just smiling. Oh, it didn't work out? Oh, well. You know, I'm telling you, I've seen this, guys. I'm not just talking, okay? I've seen his clothes just bam. Well, that didn't work out. Oh, yeah. Because mama praying. So we hold the line as we wait, and we don't allow the enemy to take any territory won by faith in our Lord. We do not draw back into sin when the going gets tough, but we stand on the word of our captain. We refuse the old attitudes, habits, and allies of our past and hold true to our captain through the fire. See, because that old slick devil, when you're going through on your hard days, oh, he'll bring up your old default systems, the things you used to fall back on. You know, the hit you used to fall back on, that stuff you used to fall back on, that relationship you used to fall back on. Oh, he'll bring it up. They'll call you at the very moment. But I'm telling you, run to your captain for comfort and encouragement. Run to your prayer closet. Run to your captain when you're having those hard days. Because Satan has no rules of war. It's not like the Geneva Convention and, you know, the United Nations where there's rules of war. He has no rules of war. He will hit a baby in the womb. I'm just convinced of that. He will hit the innocent. You see how he's hitting the innocent? He doesn't care. There's no rules. So we have to understand who we're fighting. As the apostle said, we are not ignorant of his devices. You can't be ignorant and walking around here with your heads in the cloud and not even understanding who you're dealing with. He does not care. There are no rules of war. He will hit you when you're down. He'll especially hit you when you're down. He won't wait for you to get back up. There's no referee coming. Wait. You know the referee when they're boxing and there's a referee and he's holding you. No, uh-uh. You could be down and he, boom, 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 until you call on Jesus. So the next point says, you may ask, why does our Lord allow us to wait so long for relief? Boy, isn't that a question we ask? Why, Lord? Why so long? Our answer is in the book of James. And it says, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James 1:4. You must trust your captain that he has purpose and love in all that he allows in your life. I know it's hard, and I know you've waited for years and you're waiting, but let patience have its perfect result. It's working something in you. It's working faith in you. God is always trying to develop your faith and belief in him over the enemy. Why? Because you need it. You need it for the battle. You need it. So we want everything so instantaneous. We want all this instant stuff. We're so used to instant. You know, we have all this knowledge at our fingertips and we want to know now. And we want the answer now. And then God makes us wait. He has always made his people wait. Made Abraham wait. Waited for years and years for the promise of Isaac. Children of Israel sitting at the bottom of Mount Sinai. Moses up on the mountain for 40 days, I think it'd be. Waiting. Why? Because it develops your faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. See, when you have faith, you have righteousness. I believe God. Well, you were believing God last year. And you were believing God. We thought Jesus was coming in 2012. I thought God was going to come. I thought Jesus was going to do this. Let patience have its perfect work. So he didn't come the way I thought. He didn't come when I thought. He didn't come, but I believe him. I believe him. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom that said, the more I get to know God, the less I understand him, but the more I trust him. Because she has saw him come through. This is a woman that spent years in a concentration camp. Hallelujah. And in her writing, she wrote about those years in there, and she talked about, you know, I think she was at a camp called Ravensbrook. And someone was interviewing her, and she was in her nice home after the war and everything, and they were saying, so how good God has been to you. You know, God has blessed you with this beautiful home, and God has blessed you to write books, and God has been so good to you. And she said to that person, God was good in Ravensbrook. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Doesn't that just blow you away? God was good in this concentration camp. Because, see, God is always good to you. When you're going through, get into the lesson he's teaching you. He's got a lesson spread out for you as you're going through. He has taught me so much more when I'm going through than when things are going great. That book I brought in, Don't Waste Your Sorrows, he teaches you so much in your sorrow than when things are going great. You can see so much through a tear. So don't waste it. If you're going through, I'm telling you, take advantage of that time. Lord, what are you saying? What are you teaching? Because your heart is so open when you're going through. When you're in the sick bed and you can't get up, you can't move, oh man, how Jesus can talk to you. Now you're still now. You're not busy. You don't have an appointment tomorrow that you're worried about, so let's talk about my word. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about where you need healing. Let's talk about where you need to understand, where you need growth, where you need maturity. So remember, God was good at Ravensbrook. God is good in your Ravensbrook. He's been good to you. So learn, as James is saying, let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Your Father does not want you lacking anything. He wants you whole. So you must trust your captain that he has purpose and love in all that he allows in your life. And finally, and I wrote this on your handout, Isaiah 41 and 10. And it says, do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation. That is his promise to you. Your body may be feeble, but if your spirit is strong in the Lord, you are a mighty warrior in the army of God. So let endurance have its perfect work. I don't care how feeble you feel. You're a mighty warrior. If you're in prayer, you're a mighty warrior for God. Any comments? Or
just one comment that you made on the woman with the alabaster. Mm-hmm. I was studying that. It's strange. Anyway, she poured the alabaster on the perfume, but she broke the bottle,
yes,
showing that she was empty.
Yes.
She held nothing back.
Yes. Yes.
So many times we pour things, but we keep something back.
We keep it back. Yeah.
And that alabaster box was very valuable.
Yes.
Very valuable. She broke it. She meant, I come to you with nothing more.
Yes.
You're mine. You
know, yes.
That's what we need to,
yes,
to look at.
Yes.
Is that break that alabaster box.
Yes.
Pour it on him and leave it alone.
So, yes. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Because that's the other.
That was so amazing that you was talking about that. I had just studied that.
Yeah. God, You know, it's the Lord. You know, we have to pay attention to that, because if he's saying it twice, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, mm-hmm. let me listen, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, because, and that's such a good point.
Yeah.
Because not only was she focused on Christ, she gave it all.
Right. And she had emptied herself.
She emptied herself.
We can't yeah. keep anything. Mm-hmm. We have to give it all to him, no
we
matter how painful it is.
Yeah.
And we want to hang on to our security blanket.
Yes.
No, God says,
yes.
no, I'm your security blanket.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when you break it, because her reputation was out there.
Was, yeah.
You know, I mean, they knew where she was. She didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it's a blessing when God exposes you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we feel all embarrassed. Oh, everybody knows. Oh, my God. Sometimes that's one of the best things that could ever happen to you. Because
mm-hmm.
you can get over yourself
right. yeah.
and focus on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
We want to give something. We want to keep part of it. We've got to save mm-hmm. it
mm-hmm.
in case I need it.
Yes. Yes.
Karen, you were talking about them building that mosque across from where Jesus was
mm-hmm.
born. And it just brought to my remembrance, I don't know exactly where it's at in the Bible, about Dagon
mm-hmm.
and how they kept putting him up in front of the temple. And they found him finally with his head broken off and his hands. And
mm-hmm. Yes.
And God can do the same for
yes.
that mosque.
Yes. God, he promises he'll do.
Mm-hmm.
He'll hold up Israel. There's a reason why. And I, you know, and I've written about this in my book, Leaving Babylon. There's a reason why they want to erase Israel. Because Israel testifies that this is true.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the enemy wants to erase her
mm-hmm.
or take her over. You know, get the people of God, the Jews, out of there. Because it testifies
mm-hmm.
of the word being true. Who had their hand up? I thought it was
we must decrease so he can increase.
Mm-hmm.
My prayer is always, Lord, empty me of me so I can be filled with you.
Yeah.
And I think that going into your prayer closet is mm-hmm. important, not for just you, but for the people out there, because when you were saying the people last week coming to the altar, you know, and that there was people outside that would never come into the church, that's why God wants to be in you, because
yes.
you have to go
yes.
out into the
yes.
world and be salt.
Yes.
Right? And you have
yes.
to be equipped and be empty of yourself and full of Christ, because
yes.
you're the salt in your workplace.
Yes.
And sometimes people won't come to church, but they go to work every day. So be
mm-hmm.
there and be their altar
mm-hmm.
that they can come to if they, you know, when they see that Christ lives in you and they're going through something. They won't come to the church, but
yes.
you're there.
Yes.
You can come. They can come
yes.
to you.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I tell you, lights of the world, salt of the earth,
mm-hmm.
you know. And again, you know, I just to expand on what Jesus said, but if we've lost our savor, if we've lost our saltiness, what are we good for? You know, and that's what this is about, folks. We get into our prayer closet so we can be salty, so we can season this earth and season our neighborhood and season our workplace and, you know, season our home, you know. Yes, I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, this is serious. This is serious business. How many have seen the movie The War Room? How many have seen? Okay, good. Okay, because I wasn't going to show the movie again. I was just going to, we're just going to get right into the lesson. Okay.
Rachel saw it. She was the best
for me. Okay, good. So anyway, let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for another day, another lesson, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. Father, we thank you for making us your people and your children, Lord God. So here we are, Lord, your children, asking that you would help us, Lord God, that you would help us to focus on you, Lord God. This world that we live in, this society that we live in is full of so many distractions, Lord God. Oh, Lord, but I pray that our focus would be on you. I pray that you would impress upon us to press into you, to pray, to read your word. Oh, Lord, to get you in our mind and in our heart, Lord God. We're reminded of this woman, Lord God, that was so focused on you, didn't care what people thought, didn't care about the whispers that were going on around her, but she found Jesus and she gave him all. So, Lord, I pray that we would do the same. Oh, Lord, even as we have accepted you in our heart, Lord, there's still work to be done in us, Lord God. Oh, Father, you said the work you began in us, you'll continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, so Lord, we ask, continue to perform the work. Continue to move on us. Continue to work in us, Lord. Continue to let your spirit rise in us as we minister in our homes, as we minister in our workplaces, as we minister in our neighborhoods. Oh, God, help us. Help us to rise up as your mighty warriors. Oh, Lord, we say right now we're taking back the territory that the devil has taken in our homes. Lord, we take back our children. We take back our husbands, wives. We take back anything that has been taken, Lord God. We take them back in the name of Jesus. We take back family members, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. We take back neighbors, Lord God. We take back neighborhoods, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We take back our nation. In the name of Jesus, we take it back. In Jesus' name, we take authority over the principalities and the powers that would rise up against the name of Christ. We take authority over it in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, move on in this nation. Lord, even as a nation right now, the federal government is shut down. Lord, we move. Move by your power, Lord God. We don't pray for a Democratic or Republican, Lord. We pray your will be done. And your will come, Lord God, as the angel of the Lord told Joshua, I'm not for any one of you, I'm for the Lord. So, Lord, we pray that we are on your side. Oh, Lord, we have no agenda except yours. And we pray that your agenda be carried out in this nation. Your agenda, Lord Jesus. Your agenda, Lord Jesus. Grant it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we cast away our thoughts. Our feelings, oh Lord Jesus, we know it won't be by might, it won't be by power, it won't be by politics, oh Lord, but it's going to be by your spirit that this nation is turned around. So let it be done. Let it be done. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come in the United States of America. Oh Lord Jesus. As the old song says, God bless America, my home, sweet home, Lord God. Help her. Guide her. Stand beside her. Oh, through the night with the light from above. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name and we expect it. We're expecting, Lord. We're not just praying, Lord, but we're looking and expecting the change. We're expecting the movement of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, as we set up our war rooms, Lord God, I pray for each person in this room, Lord, that you would show them where their war room in the house should be, the place where they meet you. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.